You are now listening to the Fantasy Filler Podcast, where we put you in the driver's seat every week, all year long. In the NASCAR racing world, from top news stories, latest results, and best fantasy lineups, we'll have you up to speed and out in front before the drop of the green flag. So let's dive in with our host, Vanilla Wafers.
It has been far too long since we've heard that intro, more specifically about almost 2 weeks. If you guys remember the last episode, we had some audio problems. Hopefully I was able to give you guys your fantasy picks in time. Felt really bad about that, but I am now back in the office, so we should not have any of those problems here in this episode. And what a time to come back, because we are coming back to Talladega Super Speedway. We'll be talking about the top fantasy picks to go for here this weekend. So without further ado, let's dive into today's episode of the Fantasy Filler Podcast. Man, oh man, let me just apologize for everything that went down in the last 10 days, because I could have swore that we were going to have no audio problems, everything was going to be good, and that episode was going to be so much fun, as we had a lot of enjoyment making that episode with opinions on NASCAR on Twitter, as well as the Motorsports Ministry. Armani was also on that show, and something just horrendously happened to my computer. I had the audio issues not only with this, but I also had it on a YouTube video, so that video has been delayed almost a week, so a little bit of frustration there, and there was no way I could get back to my computer and work on it. At that point, I was by the equator, as you guys probably know. I was traveling internationally. I was hanging out at Cancun, which was a lot of fun, but I hate to leave you guys hanging, so I made sure to do a recording while I was down there. Audio may have not been the best, but hopefully you guys got the most important information, which was which drivers were the best to go with. And at Martinsville, it was a decent race. I wouldn't say it was a great race for Martinsville standards, but at least it wasn't anything like it was last year when it came to the 400-mile event. I mean, we just had William Byron dominate the whole race, and that was it. Other than that, big congratulations to Kyle Larson. He was definitely not the driver who I expected to win the race at all. I think a lot of people did not really brush him off and thought to themselves, yeah, he might get a top 10, but he ain't winning the damn thing. But he was able to do that. But how about Stuart Haas Racing with an excellent performance there? It's a shame they were not able to pull away with the victory, because Chase Briscoe led 109 laps. He had Ryan Preece lead 135 laps. Kevin Harvick led 20 laps. And then which other one are we missing? Eric Almirola, he didn't lead any laps, but he was able to score a bunch of fantasy points from the stages at 42 points in total. So good showing for them. They just were not able to seal the deal. Unfortunately, cautions did not work to their advantage. But we're not talking about the paperclip race. We are talking about Talladega Super Speedway, one of the biggest racetracks on the schedule, the biggest oval racetrack. We don't really want to count road courses comparing that. But yes, Talladega is definitely one of the biggest tracks on the schedule, and one of the most exciting ones, because it's an opportunity for a lot of these smaller teams to wind up in victory lane. And it's a great opportunity for us to kind of gamble with our picks and see which drivers are actually really good to go with that you wouldn't really think of at any other race, and which drivers do we want to bench that we've been using quite a bit and they might not be worth a damn here at Talladega. So definitely a fun weekend. Hopefully I give you guys the right picks. We've been kind of 50-50 with our picks. Some picks, yeah, they've been really good. But then the other half of the picks, man, they have been letting us down. The fact that Joey Logano finished in the top three was absolutely a huge shocker to me, just because he was not having a good race at all, and he was still able to finish second. So I kind of got lucky on that one. I don't think we're going to focus on any news stories here this week, because nothing really stood out to me. I mean, we've kind of covered some of the big stuff. The only thing that was really going on while I was gone was just a few drivers who got introduced or inducted into the 75 greatest drivers list. Those including Greg Biffle, Sterling Marlin, and Chase Elliott. They were all inducted in, and all of them I agree with. I think they're all really good drivers. Greg Biffle was kind of the one kind of on the rim, but he still made it in. And Ryan Newman. A lot of people did not expect Ryan Newman to make it in, but remember, he has that Daytona 500 win, and in 2003, he was one of the most fierce competitors out on the track. So if Sterling Marlin can get it in with his Daytona 500 win and his Really good performance in 2002. Then Ryan Newman should step in. But the spots are closing up, so it's going to be interesting which drivers make it in and which drivers will miss it. Oh, and also it looked like Colic Racing was able to get their points restored. That's actually a big bit of news, and I think a lot of people were really happy about that because there is no reason Colic Racing should have a different points penalty compared to Hendrick Motorsports. It was the same issue. In fact, for Hendrick Motorsports, they had all four of them. For Colic Racing, it was just one, and they were going to penalize them 75 points, even though they gave all the points rescinded back to Hendrick Motorsports. Well, Colic Racing didn't like that, and they went for an appeal for the appeal, and they got their points back. Well deserved. And honestly, if they just did not, it was just going to be a huge controversy that nobody at all wanted to deal with here in the racing world. So without further ado, let's dive into it. We got to look at our top picks here for this weekend because this is an important one. It's Talladega. If you're able to win in Fantasy League at Talladega, then boy, oh boy, you got a lot to celebrate. One of the funnest tracks to be a part of and one of the most exciting races to watch. So without further ado, here is our top picks for the Geico 500 at Talladega. Alrighty guys, you know the drill. This is for fantasygames.nascar.com. You have six picks, five will count towards your final results while you have one in the garage area that you'll want to switch out in the middle of the race before stage two if one of your other drivers are just struggling overall as a whole or they wreck out. So it's very important to have the six best drivers here on your fantasy roster. We're also going to have some featured matchups, four featured matchups to be exact, which could give you up to 40 points in your fantasy league. So we got to be really smart here on our decisions this week. You don't want to waste them on anybody who you feel like is going to wreck out early when they could have done so much better at another racetrack. Now, one driver who's been looking really good when it comes to super speedways, we mostly look at him at Daytona. However, with his qualifying results, and we've seen with qualifying, it has paid huge dividends on which drivers are going to do really good in the race. He's a Toyota, the number 11 of Denny Hamlin. It just screams that it's going to be a good weekend for him. And honestly, he is never really a bad option to go with when it comes here to super speedways. Since February of 2020, and when it comes to super speedway races, minus Atlanta Motor Speedway, I don't really want to compare that one to Daytona and Talladega for obvious reasons. But his driver's rating has been the highest compared to any other driver here in the Cup Series for the last 3 years, with an average rating of 91.4. Now, when you compare that to other racetracks, that sounds horrendous. But remember, super speedways are just gnarly, gnarly races. And you can finish first or you can finish 27th by just one bad move. But Denny Hamlin, he's been looking really good. He has been qualifying near the front in almost every single race, has led laps in almost every single race in the last six races. He was able to win the fall race in 2020 due to kind of controversial circumstances, but still a great finish nonetheless. Most of his finishes have been inside the top seven. If he can stay out of trouble, he's going to be a viable option here to go with this weekend. Some people might even use him for their leagues where they can only pick one driver in each race and never use him again. I would not be against that. I mean, if you didn't use him at Daytona, there's probably not many other races that you really scream, oh, I gotta go with Denny Hamlin, except maybe a Richmond or maybe the Martinsville fall race if he doesn't implode in that race, or Daytona in the fall, either way, or more of the summer, excuse me. But either way, regardless of which way you look at it, Denny Hamlin should be a great option to go with here this weekend and should be a number one pick in a lot of people's eyes. Let's move on to the Fords and let's talk about a driver who's starting to show good finishes when it comes to super speedways. I always said he was more of a gambling driver because he always gets a lot of stage points, but it's never a guarantee for him to finish the race. But after a win at Atlanta, which is technically a super speedway race, and a second place finish at the Daytona 500, I think we can now trust Joey Logano. I keep saying Joey Logano every single week, but Joey Logano should be a viable option here at Talladega as well. I don't see him struggling like he's done at the other tracks. Super speedway races are definitely a lot different when it compares to Phoenix, Las Vegas, Martinsville. Even though somehow Martinsville, he still got that impressive finish. It's driving me nuts that he was able to do that, and I have no idea why. But when it comes to super speedways, this man always finds a way to lead laps in these races. Let's just look at his past few finishes. Now, 2022, it was rough. He was not able to get good finishes there. But let's look past that. He was able to score a few stage points in both of the 2021 races. 2020, he was able to lead 45 laps and 33 laps with his average running position being 9th and 4th. And then before 2020, he was able to finish 11th, 4th, 5th, and 1st. And his average rating as a driver at Super Speedways for Daytona and Talladega, he is 2nd only behind Denny Hamlin. Lots of laps he has led, 230 laps in total. It's just whether or not you feel like he is going to be able to finish the race. Right now in 2023, it looks like he can. Looks like he has been able to stay out of trouble for the most part. That's not a guarantee here, but if he's able to show any close to resemblance of a run that he did at the Daytona 500, hey, for a driver who was able to get a victory at Atlanta and also able to score 42 points at Daytona, that is not a bad option considering the fact that most of the drivers here on these lists can only score around 35 points on average per race. So Joey Logano is really not a bad option here for this weekend. Now let's look at some of the Chevrolets. You know who the top Chevrolet is. We got to include him here. The number one of Ross Chastain, definitely a top pick here for this weekend. There's no stopping this number one car when it comes to super speedways. Yes, his qualifying run was not the best, but usually that doesn't matter too much here when it comes to super speedway races. I mean, he's going to have the opportunity to find his way up front. Him and Daniel Suarez, they qualified 22nd and 23rd. But let's look at his finishes last year here at Talladega. He was able to win the spring race. He only led one lap, but it was the most important lap. In the fall race, he was able to finish 4th, led 36 laps with an average running position being 6th. In the Daytona 500, he was able to win a stage as well as finish in the top 10 in that race. So honestly, Ross Chastain, even though he is notorious for causing wrecks in these super speedway races, he always finds a way to not be involved in it. And you know what? He may piss some people off, but hey, if he's going to finish near the front, then it doesn't matter how many people he pisses off. The only thing that matters is he's giving you the fantasy points, and more than likely, Ross Chastain will be able to do that here for your fantasy league. I got a couple more drivers here to put as top picks. I think there's a very, very good chance that you see Brad Keselowski in the number 6 wind up in victory lane after not being in victory lane for, what is it now, 2 years? It's been forever since we've seen Brad Keselowski back in victory lane. But something tells me this 6 car is going to do absolutely great here in that race for multiple reasons. One, it's a track he loves. He is one of the most winningest drivers out of the active drivers here when it comes to Talladega. I believe he has 6 victories here. If it's not 6, it's 7. And at the Daytona 500, it's a shame that he was not able to finish on the lead lap because he led the most laps in the Daytona 500 with 42 laps, and he was also able to win a stage. And here at Talladega, he's even stronger. We've seen it in his results in the past. Now, last year, it wasn't really a great run for him as he finished 24th and 23rd. But look at before that. Look at 2021 when he was in the 2 car. He was able to finish 2nd and 1st. And here in the 6 car, they have figured things out. I mean, you've seen it with Chris Buescher. Chris Buescher is going to be another one of those drivers that you want on your fantasy roster. We'll talk about him in a little bit. But Brad Keselowski is looking to be the number one guy here this year. And you definitely want the number one guy on your roster. And Brad Keselowski, this is going to be one of his better races of the year. I really see that happening. He's going to be right up there with a mix of Denny Hamlin, Joey Logano, Ross Chastain, leading laps, getting some stage points. It is very hard to stay away from the number 6 car. So we got ourselves some Toyota, we got a Chevrolet, and we got 2 Fords. Who is the last driver we want on our list here for this race as a top pick? There's a lot of good options here, and maybe I'm a glutton for torture, but I think we got to include Chase Elliott. I'm going to go with Chase Elliott as a top pick here in this race. So Chase Elliott had himself a pretty abysmal run at Martinsville. Now, granted, he was able to get a good finish near the end, but really, what else did he really do? He didn't do anything else. Basically, where he finished was the highest finishing or running position that he was in the entire race. And that was pretty shocking. Not many people expected that at all. Now, here at Talladega, he's always ran really good. He's always been a fierce competitor, and there's a really good chance he's going to be there near the end when it matters the most. He has done it multiple times in the past. He's already gotten 2 victories here at Talladega. And as far as his driver average goes, he has the 3rd highest average rating when it comes to super speedway events. And 7, top 10 finishes in those 13 races. So most of the time he is inside the top 10 rather than outside the top 10. Yes, there is a few DNFs there, so you got to take that into consideration. But at the same time, you know, Joey Logano has six DNFs since 2020, while Chase Elliott has three. And the important question you got to ask yourself is Chase Elliott going to be at the finish? And number two, same thing what we said at Martinsville, is this going to be one of those races where it's going to be one of his top 10 races or underneath his top 10 races? Because remember, he missed quite a few races, so we haven't used him quite nearly as much as we have with other drivers. So that's why I feel confident using him as a top pick. This could be a really viable option for Chase Elliott, but at the same time, it could be something similar to Martinsville. I hope that is not the case. We will have to see, but based on his past finishes, he typically runs really well in these races. And oh, by the way, he is notorious for leading at least a couple laps in each race. So those are your top picks here this weekend. We have the number 11 of Denny Hamlin, the number 22 of Joey Logano, the number 1 of Ross Chastain, the number 6 of Brad Keselowski, and the number 9 of Chase Elliott. Now let's fill up the rest of your roster with some pretty good drivers to go with here this weekend. Hopefully those five drivers are contenders for the victory at least one point in the race. I feel like they should. I mean, they've all shown a lot of talent when it comes to either here at Talladega or in other super speedway races most recently. So I feel like those will be really good options. But these are the most important drivers here, as this will be the separation between if you finish near the top of your fantasy league or near the bottom. So these ones are very important. Let's first start off with a driver I feel like we need to get out of the way real quickly here in the pretty good category, and that is the number 12 of Ryan Blaney. Yes, a lot of people would probably put Ryan Blaney as a top pick here for this weekend, but I don't know what it is, man. I don't know what's going on with that 12 camp. They should, by all means, be a number one pick. They should be right up there with Joey Logano, if not slightly ahead. His average finish in the last 13 Super Speedway races has been a 9.9. Very, very impressive. But he just has not felt like the driver to rely on anymore. And it's a scary thing, because even when the numbers say, oh yeah, you should go with him, you still don't feel confident. But his past few finishes, we see a second place finish in the fall race, 11th place in the spring race of 2022. In 2021, he was able to finish in the top 10 in that one, led 11 laps, and then was able to get the victory in the 2020 race in the spring after leading 63 laps. So on paper, everything looks to be heading in the direction of Ryan Blaney. I just don't think he's going to be running for the victory. That still doesn't mean you should shy away from putting him on your fantasy roster, because I still think he will pay off big time for a lot of leagues. It's just a question of how much problems is he going to run into in their race. Not whether if he will or not, it's just how much. And that's really bad momentum to try to get away from for an organization. And the 12 is right in that spot right now, but he could prove me wrong. Either way, Ryan Blaney still should be considered a pretty good driver to go with here this weekend. Next up, we have the number 8 of Kyle Busch. So close to winning the Daytona 500. He kept referring to Dale Earnhardt in 1998. Yep, that would have won us the Daytona 500. Yep, we could have won it if they would have went to the old way. Yada, yada, yada. Whatever. Let's go away from that. I'm not here to really talk about that. I'm here to talk about how much momentum he had in that race. Just everything looked like, holy crap, Kyle Busch is going to win this race at Daytona. He has been talented at super speedways in the past, but here with Richard Childress Racing, a team that specializes at super speedways, there could be a very good chance he runs up there near the front. Now, he's not running with nearly as much momentum as he had here at the beginning of the season. Things have dropped off a bit. He's no longer going to be running for victories left and right, as a lot of us thought he was going to. He's more running around the top 10, so that drops him down a little bit. Regardless, he should be still a top tier driver to go with. I wouldn't say a top pick. I don't think he's going to be running for the victory, but there is going to be a chance that he's going to score some stage points here or there. It's kind of a little similar to Joey Logano on whether or not he can stay out of trouble. Because yes, he may be in the top 5 of highest driver averages. I was counting Jay McMurray, but he's only ran one race, so he doesn't really count. 5th as far as average rating goes here in this race, but his average finish is 21.3. And Joey Logano's is 20.5, and Joey Logano's been caught up in a lot of DNFs, 6 to be exact. Well, that ties Kyle Busch, so he's definitely a riskier one to go with, but if it's anything close to what we saw at the Daytona 500, then he's a reliable source. But then again, he got caught up in an accident, so Kyle Busch, definitely going to be a top 10 runner in this race, it feels like. It's just whether or not he's going to be able to finish the race. I don't think he's going to be running for the victory, but still should be a solid performance. Let's talk about another teammate from a top pick. We first talked about Ryan Blaney, teammate to Joey Logano. Let's talk about Chris Buescher, teammate to Brad Keselowski. Chris Buescher is also a really good driver. He tends to show up when it comes here to Talladega in that number 17 car. Just some really good finishes in the past. Last year, it did not pay off. I'm not going to lie. Something with RFK Racing that you were just not able to perform at Talladega. The 6 car wasn't able to do it. Neither was the 17 car. Obviously, it's a lot different this year. They've shown a lot of momentum and a lot of speed at places that we did not really expect. And it looks like Chris Buescher has himself a fast car once again as he was able to qualify into the 10th position here for this Talladega race. Now, let's look at his past few finishes. He has a few top 10 finishes here and there with his average running position being around the 10th position if you do not include 2022. That's an opportunity to get some stage points here and there. He's usually notorious for finishing 4th through 7th in stages, so that may pay off really well. If you think Brad Keselowski will be up there, then more than likely his teammate will be not too far behind. That's just how that team rolls. They're similar to Richard Childress Racing, where they should have both their cars running near the front. And speaking of Richard Childress Racing, Austin Dillon, also a good option to go with. He is a little bit more consistent than the other few drivers we've talked about here. Ryan Blaney is definitely the most consistent here in the pretty good category, but right there in the mix has been Austin Dillon. He's had himself some really good finishes. He was right there with Kyle Busch, almost securing a top 3 finish and maybe even a victory in the Daytona 500 along with his teammate. Here at Talladega, though, in the last 5 races here, his worst finish has been 13th. His best finish has been 2nd, with his average running position being right around in the top 15 position. Now, in the fall race, he didn't really have himself that great of a performance. It is what it is. But let's look at the other races, and let's look at the most recent races. Things have been pointing in the right direction here for the number 3 machine. His average driver rating is a little bit lower compared to other drivers we talked about here on this list, but his average finish is near the top. His average finish has been 15th. And that's including 3 DNFs in the last 13 Super Speedway races. I feel very confident with Austin Dillon having himself a solid performance. If you think anything is going to happen that's close to the Daytona 500, then yeah, you definitely want to consider Austin Dillon. He's one of those drivers that I don't think a lot of people are relying too much on this year. I don't think you're using all 10 picks. So it's definitely worth taking a gamble on him at the very least. But I think he's more of a top 10 driver rather than a driver we might gamble on. Now, a lot of good options here. Who's going to fill out the rest of the pretty good category? We got one spot left. I think we got to give it to the number 34 of Michael McDowell. Yep, Michael McDowell makes it into the top 10 list, and there's a lot of good reasons why. This tends to be one of his best racetracks, has been the Super Speedways. The Front Row Motorsports has been very, very impressive, no matter who they have in their cars. And you might even consider someone like Todd Gillen or Zane Smith's in this race. Don't forget that. They got 3 cars here this weekend. They have been notorious to get at least 1 car inside the top 10. Let's look at the Daytona 500 just to verify. All right, well, maybe he wasn't able to get one of his cars in the top 10, but he had Zane Smith in 13th, so right there in the mix. Let's look at Michael McDowell in the last few finishes here at the 2.67-mile racetrack. A 3rd place finish, an 8th place finish, a 3rd place finish in the spring of 2021, a 5th place finish in the fall race of 2019. A few DNFs here and there, so you got to take that into consideration. But also in the Daytona 500, he was able to finish 1st in Stage 1 before he got caught up in an incident that put him a few laps down. So, he's a riskier pick. There's no mistaking that. With that being said, he has had himself some really solid finishes. 5 top 10s in the last 13 races, 9 top 20 finishes. His average finish 16.9, 1 victory there, which was the Daytona 500. 3 top 5 finishes. I don't know, those numbers look really good. If there's going to be a race that's going to be head and shoulders for him this season, more than likely it's going to be a Daytona or Talladega race. And that is why you should consider Michael McDowell as a pretty good pick. So those are the 5 drivers that will conclude the rest of the top 10. We got the number 12 of Ryan Blaney, the number 8 of Kyle Busch, the number 17 of Chris Buescher, the number 3 of Austin Dillon, and the number 34 of Michael McDowell. Now it is time for the most fun category to talk about here, the Take a Gamble category. This is usually for your last spot, your garage pick. This driver can either do really good for you or let you down. That is why it is a gamble to rely on them. At the same time, though, they could be some great options, as we will probably not use these drivers for all 10 of their picks. And they could substitute some of the drivers we just talked about for later races that we feel a little bit more reliable that they can finish near the front, because we all know how crazy Talladega can be. But let's first start off with the number 47 of Ricky Stenhouse Jr., a driver who's had victories at both Daytona and Talladega, including the 2023 Daytona 500. Now, a lot of people are just like, okay, he should be probably a top pick, or at the very least in the pretty good category. Well, not necessarily. See, here's the problem with Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Yes, he has some victories here and there, but he has a lot of finishes 30th, or worse. That's just how he is when it comes to super speedway races. Flip a coin twice, basically. If you see a tail in either of those coin flips, he's going to be in a wreck. That's literally how it is. It feels like 75% of the time he's in a wreck. The other 25%, he's running in the top five. There's no in between with Ricky Stenhouse Jr. So he's a great option to throw in the garage area. Definitely. If you feel a little more confident in your drivers, if you have people like, oh, I don't know, let's say Ross Chastain, since he's been reliable at these races, even though he causes accidents left and right. Brad Keselowski, Chase Elliott is sometimes reliable. Ryan Blaney, and then let's throw in, let's say, Michael McDowell. If you have those five drivers in your mix, then throw Ricky Stenhouse Jr. in there. Might as well take a big gamble on him if you feel really reliable with your other drivers. Like I said, he can either finish in the top five, or he can get caught up in an accident and finish 40th. He's done that a couple times, so don't be surprised if that happens, but still worth a gamble. Next driver here on our list, we have the number two of Austin Cindric. Austin Cindric let us down big time at Martinsville. I don't know what happened to that two car, but that was a bummer. That was a big bummer, and I don't know if he's just suffering his sophomore slump, whatever it is. Either way, I felt like the rookie season, I felt more confident throwing Austin Cindric in the mix than I have this year. With that being said, he has always shown promise when it comes to super speedway races. Won the Daytona 500 last year, was able to finish 5th in stage 2 of the Daytona 500 this year. Yes, he got caught up in an incident, but still, he showed that he had speed. And then here at Talladega, he's had some decent finishes down the Xfinity Series with an 8th and 2nd place finish in 2021. And then in the Cup Series last year in the fall race, he was able to finish 9th. Now, he'll be rolling off in the 15th position, which, believe it or not, is his best starting position here at Talladega in the Cup Series. His other two starting positions have been 17th and 18th, so not much of an improvement, but a slight improvement. He's going to be right there trying to flirt with the top 10. There could be a chance he could get another 5th in one of the stages, which would really help out, but you're not really looking at him as, oh, he's going to be the one to score 48 points in this race. I think he's going to be more of a, there's a good chance he can score you 32 points right there in that mix. A little bit more of a reliable gamble, but at the same time, there's some signs that he's shown this year that he's fallen off a little bit. Regardless though, as I've said multiple times, if you're going to trust the 22 and the 12, then you got to trust the 2 as well at some length, not all the way, but that's usually how it works, especially at super speedways, because the team usually sticks together. Another driver to take a gamble on, this one has killed me this year. I have expected so much more from this guy, but based on his past 6 finishes with 5 top 10 finishes and leading laps in 4 of those races, I don't know how they could fall apart here in this race, but we got to talk about the number 43 of Erik Jones. He has not had the season that we were expecting, not at all. I thought when Jimmy Johnson was going to come into the mix, it was just going to give him even just a little bit more momentum. He also had Noah Gregson, a very talented Xfinity Series driver. I did not expect him to be running around the top 10 every single race, but I didn't expect him to struggle as much as he has. The same thing goes with Erik Jones. Now, with that being said, his last finishes here, 6 and 6, should have won the spring race, just came up a little bit short, just took the wrong line, and it cost him a chance to win that race. But just look at his finishes. Two sixth-place finishes in 2022, a top-10 finish in 2021, two top-five finishes in 2020. He has always shown good results here at this racetrack, no matter if he's in a Toyota or in a Chevrolet. He has been notoriously good at super speedways. So there's just something that tells me, yes, even though they're struggling this year, he should have himself a good race. But if you think he's going to do something similar to what he's done the past few races here this year, then maybe you want to stay away from him. I mean, look at the Daytona 500. He finished 37th. He got caught up in an accident, gave everybody a whole whopping 1 point. But that is definitely when it comes to take a chance. These drivers can either pay off really well for you or they'll let you down. I feel like Erik Jones should be on the positive end and should be able to finish in the top 10 if he stays out of trouble. But at the same time, 2023 has been really odd for him. Another driver to take a gamble on, I think a lot of people have been wondering where this driver is, but let's be honest, he's kind of fallen off a little bit when it comes to super speedway performance, especially this year. And that is Bubba Wallace in the number 23. I don't know what's going on with him this year. He's been really hard on himself. He hasn't been getting the great finishes that we were hoping he would get. Tyler Reddick has been the stronger performer in that number 45 car. I don't know what it is, but you cannot take away the fact that he is talented when it comes to super speedway. So here at this race, you got to still, at the very least, take a gamble on him just because there is a chance. I mean, he got his first ever victory here in the Cup Series. Granted, it was a rain-shortened event, but he was able to put himself in a position where he was able to get that victory. Now, his starting position is the 12th position. So, hey, looks a little bit better right there with Tyler Reddick there in the 13th position. However, Tyler Reddick should be more reliable at other racetracks. That's probably why I'm saying not to take a gamble on him, just because there could be just a lot of things that could happen that could get him more into an accident. And I don't want to rely on a race with Tyler Reddick where I know there's going to be 9 other races that he can run better at. But Bubba Wallace, what we have seen at super speedways is we've seen someone that has been very consistently running up front. He just loses his value just on how he's done so far this year. But I don't think that train is going to run forever. There's got to be a point where, hey, they start to figure things out. They can run near the front. And Toyota has some strong cars. They got Ty Gibbs, Denny Hamlin, Christopher Bell, and Martin Truex Jr. able to qualify in the top 7. So they do definitely have some fast equipment. You got Bubba Wallace right there in the mix. He should be able to score some stage points. And hopefully in the first stage, he has no problems, because if he runs into any problems, then keep him in the garage area because he's been really hard on himself and he may not bounce back. So there is value there. Just keep in mind that if you see anything remotely, signs of trouble in the first stage, then keep him in the garage area. Still worth the gamble, but keep him in the garage area. All right, one last pick to go with here in the take a chance category. We have talked about some really good drivers. Some were a little wishy-washy on. And this last pick, this is tough for me because I don't know who to go with. I want to include in this spot a Stuart Haas racing car. The question is, which one do we go with? One of them should run well here. Stuart Haas Racing has had some momentum in the right direction, which, thank goodness, I mean, this is one of the top performing teams. They should have some momentum. With that being said, they still haven't gotten a victory yet here this year. We can go with Eric Almirola, who starts second. We have Chase Briscoe, who's probably been the most consistent driver out of the bunch in the last couple of races. He starts off in the 4th position. Going down, you got Kevin Harvick, who's had himself some top 10 finishes in 4 of the last 6 races here at Talladega. Or you can go with the number 41 of Ryan Priest. This one, I'm trying to think here. I'm really trying to think here, guys. You're only going to go with one. Honestly, you could probably spin a wheel. And based on what we've seen with momentum and past finishes, I think the best option is the number 14 of Chase Briscoe. Chase Briscoe's been hanging around there right in the top 10, has been very close to getting more top 10s than, let's say, Eric Almirola, who I think is the second best option to go with. He has shown a lot of speed here this year. He just hasn't been able to execute, but you can basically say that all about Stuart Haas Racing. But you've seen Chase Briscoe run around the top 10 for the last 2 races. And let's look at his past few finishes here at Talladega, because let's be honest, they're actually not that bad of finishes. A 10th place finish in the fall race, a 14th and 11th place finish in his rookie season. Let's compare that to Eric Almirola, where his last few finishes have been 14th, 13th, and 15th. Just a slight edge honestly, I think overall here, you're going to take a gamble on at least one of these Stewart Haas racing cars. Whichever one you want to trust in, though, that is up to you. I say Chase Briscoe. A lot of people say Eric Almirola. And there's a couple people, mostly Johnny on the track, that would say someone like Ryan Priest. But maybe overall consistency, maybe if you want to be really, really safe, then maybe Kevin Harvick, since he has been one of those drivers to get the least amount of DNFs here at Super Speedways compared to his other teammates. It's just, you make the call there on that one. You make the call. Regardless, though, those are the 5 to maybe 8 drivers you want to go with as a take a gamble here this weekend in your garage area. We have the number 47 of Ricky Stenhouse Jr., the number 2 of Austin Cindric, the number 43 of Eric Jones, the number 23 of Bubba Wallace, and one of the Stewart Haas racing cars, me leaning towards Chase Briscoe. And those are the 15 to 18 drivers that we feel like will be the best options here this week at Talladega. They look to be some pretty good picks. Hopefully they stay out of trouble and they could pay off dearly for a lot of people when it comes to fantasy. Now, there are a few drivers who missed the cut that I think a lot of people were expecting to make it in. You got people like Kevin Harvick, Kyle Larson, Martin Truex Jr., Christopher Bell, William Byron, the number 45, Tyler Reddick, Alex Bowman, Ty Gibbs is another one. Why don't those drivers make it in? I'm going to be honest with you guys. They are too risky for my liking. And someone like William Byron, who's been doing good at a lot of other racetracks, I don't want to rely on a super speedway race where he most of the time gets taken out in an accident. It's almost a guarantee that 24 car will get wrecked out. Alex Bowman, I don't know. He seems like a more reliable option out of Hendrick Motorsports. Maybe if you want to replace him with Chase Elliott, you just might, but I don't know. I feel like Chase Elliott should have the stronger run and should stay out of trouble. Kyle Larson, I know what everyone says. Well, he's on momentum. He's on this. He's on that. He was able to get finally a top 5 finish here at Talladega. Yeah, but most of his finishes have been outside the top 10 when it comes here to super speedway races. I don't trust that at all in any shape or form. There's just nothing screaming to me. Christopher Bell, I feel like there's 10 other races where I know we can get more points out of him. He's just on a lot of momentum. Martin Truex Jr., no momentum. I just don't know what to think about him anymore. And then all the other drivers could be drivers that could potentially stay out of trouble, but you got to rely on a lot of big ones to happen for them to finish up front. Some of those drivers include like Austin Hill, Corey LaJoy, Riley Herbst, AJ Allmendinger. I just don't feel like those drivers are going to be the most reliable drivers to go with. You really are just relying on them if you think it's going to be a wreck fest. And I don't want to rely on a driver for it to be a wreck fest. That's just the way how I'm going to see it. So those are the reasons why those other drivers were not able to make the cut. But let's look at the featured matchups before we wrap up here. We got some good matchups here for some fairly decent ones that could swing multiple ways. First matchup here, we got the number 43 of Eric Jones and the number 47 of Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Now, finishes in the past, you would say Eric Jones, far none. But if you look here at 2023, then you lean really close to Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Man, this one is a tough one. I think if you want more of, if you're going to rely more on past finishes, you want to go with Eric Jones. If you feel like 2023 is going to be the best weighing factor in all of this, then you want to go with Ricky Stenhouse Jr. I think right now, man, I just must love Eric Jones or something because I always lean towards him even though I feel like it's going to be a bad finish. Eric Jones may be the better option to go with here over Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Next matchup here, we got Austin Dillon and then we got Bubba Wallace in the number 23. This one should be Austin Dillon. I feel like Austin Dillon, after his impressive run at Daytona with him and Kyle Busch, and his consistency in the past, he should be the better option to go with. Bubba Wallace has been notorious. He's one of the better super speedway racers, but just momentum is not on his side right now. I think you go with the number 3. Next up, we have the number 10 of Eric Almirola and the number 7 of Corey LaJoy. If you think it's going to be a wreck fest, then maybe lean towards more Corey LaJoy. But overall, I think the best option here is Eric Almirola. I mean, he's starting near the front. Stewart Haas Racing shows little signs of momentum, which is all I need to trust them. Just a tiny bit to take a gamble on. So let's lean towards Eric Almirola in that mix. And then we got Harrison Burton in the 21 and Ty Gibbs in the number 54. I'm going to go with Ty Gibbs. I think this one's probably the easiest one out of them all, and I'm going to feel really stupid if Ty Gibbs gets caught up in the late incident. But Harrison Burton has always been notorious to be caught up in incidents at super speedways. So I feel like Ty Gibbs, with all his momentum that he has been having the past few weeks, he should be the best option to go with in this mix. Harrison Burton has no momentum, while Ty Gibbs has quite a bit. So if the Toyotas seem to run really well and they run near the front, Ty Gibbs should be in that mix. The Fords, if they're running up front, it's still a toss-up on whether or not Harrison Burton will be up there with the pack. So those are my four picks here in the featured matchups. We got Eric Jones over Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Austin Dillon over Bubba Wallace, Eric Almirola over Corey LaJoie, and Ty Gibbs over Harrison Burton. And that will conclude our fantasy picks for today's episode, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Before we go, let's talk about the people who finished in the top three from Martinsville, as they were not able to get a shout out on the biggest takeaways episode since we didn't have one last week. Here are the top three. We actually have four in the mix, as we had a tie for third place, as we had WV Chase Fan 9 able to score 200 points, tied with Pat. There's a lot of T's afterwards. They were both able to score 200 points. And then finishing in the second position, we have Emmett's Car with 201 points. But the winner overall with 205 points was Kelly K. Congratulations to all you guys for finishing in the top three. Don't worry, we should do kind of a makeshift therapy session. I know a lot of people are waiting for the therapy session on over on the TikTok channel. Don't worry, I have not forgotten about that. It was just, we had no service down there. It was almost impossible to make videos. But I'll make sure to give you guys a shout out there as well. If you want to follow me on TikTok, VanillaWafer44 is where you can find me at. If you want to follow me also on YouTube and Twitter, if you're more a fan of those social media platforms, YouTube is at VanillaWafers. I should be able to get the Jeremy Mayfield YouTube video. Holy crap. When you're gone for a week, man, it screws you up a little bit. Your speaking skills kind of fall off the deep end. But yes, I should be able to post that video sometime this weekend. The latest should be Sunday morning. I feel like I can get it done tonight. It should be a really fun video. Again, you can see that on my YouTube channel at Vanilla Wafers. Or if you want to talk to me on Twitter at Vanilla Wafers, once again, you can find me there. A lot of people have been talking to me there. I see a few people have left some chats with me. Thank you guys so much for reaching out to me and asking me those questions. Just haven't gotten to them yet. I should be able to get to them here today. But the race will be tomorrow, Sunday. You don't want to miss it. I do believe it starts 3 p.m. Eastern. It will be on Fox, so you don't want to miss it, and it should be an action-packed race. But that will conclude today's episode, guys. Thank you so much for listening. I have been your host, Vanilla Wafers, and I've been able to lead you to the front of the field. So why don't we grab that checkered flag, do some burnouts, and head on out. So you all take care. This has been the Fantasy Filler Podcast.